From NPR News and Slate Magazine Online, this is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. Coming up at CBS News, a temporary replacement for longtime anchor Dan Rather. Why and what it means. First, the lead. This Sunday's Super Bowl will inevitably recall last year's notorious halftime show with the Janet Jackson breast-bearing incident. Since then, broadcasters have come under increased scrutiny by the federal agency that regulates them, the Federal Communications Commission. As Day to Day's Mike Pesca reports, newsrooms have begun to change practices based on that flash of partial nudity.
Wardrobe malfunction begets newsroom dysfunction. That's the fear among broadcasters following Janet Jackson's quick flash. Shortly after the Super Bowl, the FCC found that a fleeting utterance of the F-word by the singer Bono during the Golden Globe Awards was obscene. The 3-2 ruling, which contradicted the commission's previous rulings on such matters, was taken by broadcasters as a sign of a broader crackdown, or at least as a warning that no utterance of the F-word would be allowed on the airwaves. But Jonathan Cody, the legal advisor to FCC Chairman Michael Powell, says the Bono ruling didn't go as far as most people think.
We basically said, look, you know, there might be other contexts in which that word is fine. For example, I think it was even a public radio and NPR replayed the Gotti tapes. He uses the F word many, many times. But in the context of that news program, we upheld that decision in the Bono case.
That report was for All Things Considered in 1989. It was from FBI wiretaps of profane mob boss John Gotti.
Gotti's threats are extremely profane.
I'm going to be there all day tomorrow. Never mind you be there all day tomorrow. And never mind I have to do this again, because if I hear anybody else close, you respond within 5 days off.
And here I must stop it, for reasons that get to the heart of the present situation. First of all, the FCC's major determinant for what makes the F-word obscene is the subjective notion of context. Who knows if a commissioner might think playing that tape now, during a report on indecency, is of a different context than in 1989, when Gotti was just acquitted on murder charges. Last year, Congress passed separate bills that would raise fines to up to $500,000 per violation. This year, those fines are still under consideration. So networks know they take a big chance if they play a questionable clip, believing they're in the right, but knowing if they're in the wrong, it could cost them and their affiliates dearly. The stakes are so high that many news directors across America think like Jeff Wald of Los Angeles TV station KTLA.
I think the chilling effect really did take hold, and you know, we know that there are groups out there that are watching our air and paying attention to what we do. You know, it's actually incumbent upon us to be careful and to make sure that we've got all the controls in place.
John Cody says the last thing the FCC wants to do is censor legitimate news.
You know, the worst part about content regulation, and, you know, I think the chairman thinks that, and I certainly think this, and the courts have cautioned against this, is the natural chilling effect it has. You know, I am quite positive that very few producers of television programs have not actually gone through our orders and seen what it says.
What Cody is saying is that while newsrooms and networks might be telling themselves over and over that we're living under a broad crackdown, the FCC rulings do not bear this out. Cody points out that the FCC just rejected complaints lodged by members of the influential Parents Television Council. That ruling specifically allowed for numerous uses of a vulgarism for a part of the male anatomy. It's also a nickname for Richard, if you're wondering. This is a crackdown? What has been ruled against are shows like the Fox special Married by America, which contained, quote, scenes in which partygoers lick whipped cream from strippers' bodies in a sexually suggestive manner. So unless you're crossing that line in a news story these days, the FCC seems to be saying you shouldn't be worried. Still, Barbara Cochran, the president of the Radio and Television News Directors Association, says her members are worried. She cites the example of a nervous news director who had to sanitize a story which centered on a piece of profane graffiti on a synagogue.
You know, in the past they might have shown that or digitized it or something like that, and in this case they were very hampered in the way they covered it. And of course, you know, when you can't show what is so horrifying, it's very hard to convey to your audience why what happened was so terrible.
Now, you might be thinking the public doesn't have to see the profanity to understand the synagogue story. But John Cody says the FCC doesn't want to be in the role of making that decision for a news director. But assurances or even past FCC rulings don't much comfort news directors who know that it takes just three commissioners to overturn anything the FCC has said before. Cody acknowledges that all of this uncertainty must come to a head, probably in the courts. He suspects that broadcasters will argue that the FCC is hindering them from competing with the unregulated options offered on cable and satellite.
You know, they will be able to say, look, I no longer live in a world where I can have 50 million eyeballs at any one time flock to my channel. Media has become so fragmented that, you know, this now turns not into just a matter of First Amendment rights, but a competitive one.
So while the free speech activists and parents groups duke it out, it just may be the capitalists who carry the day. For Day to Day, I'm Mike Pesca.